Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1 this morning. What a blessing it is to be here and to be in the Lord's house. Enjoyed the service last night, and I wasn't here for the evening service yesterday, but I certainly enjoyed that last night, and enjoyed the good singing, Brother Eric, and the preaching, Brother Turner. Thank you for that. And I'm just glad that I know the Lord, and more than that, I'm glad He knows me. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 1, we'll let you stand. You've been sitting for just a few moments. And you pray for us as I'll try to give you what the Lord's put in my heart and hope it'll be a help and a blessing. Verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I don't know about y'all, but that just sends goosebumps up my back just reading about it. Amen. Thank God. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You may be seated. I'll draw your attention to verse number 10, where John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments on a Lord's day that makes the difference. In the book of John, chapter number 20, I'll not take the time to read it, but in John chapter number 20, and verse number 1, it was on the first day of the week that those ladies came to the tomb. Jesus got up the first day of the week. That seventh day, or that Sabbath, was important to the nation of Israel because it was the day of rest, the day that God had set aside. But I'm glad He did a new work, amen, beginning on the first day of the week. In the book of Acts, chapter number 20 and verse number 7, I might just want to jump over there and read that real quick. The Bible said, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. So it was already becoming the established day that the New Testament church was meeting on the day that Jesus arose from the grave, amen, on the first day of the week. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by himself in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so I'm glad and thankful. And I know that in the New Testament economy, that every day ought to be the same to us as a believer. Amen. Every day ought to be a holy day, and we ought to live right and do right Monday through Sunday. Amen. But I do know that in keeping the pattern of the New Testament, that we worship on the Lord's day. Amen. I love it, don't you? I just can't wait for the Lord's day to come around. John had a Lord's day experience that made a difference in his life. And I see some things in John's experience on the Lord's Day that if we could get a hold of, amen, on our Lord's Day and any day of the week, even here in the Jubilee on a Tuesday, amen, I think it'd make a real difference in our lives. I want to give you a few things, and I know I've got just a few moments, but I'll try my best to give them to you and be out of the way. But number one, I want you to notice with me where he was at on the Lord's Day. He said in verse number nine in the middle part, he said, I was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why were you there, John? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He had been exiled on this little island about 10 miles long and 6 miles wide. He was the last of the apostles. All the rest of them were gone. This was somewhere in the early A.D. 90s. He wrote the book of Revelation, most people think somewhere around A.D. 95. And so John was the last of those men living. John was old and he was alone and he was in exile. But I like the fact that he was in the Spirit, amen, on the Lord's Day. I don't know, friend, you don't have to be at the house of God to get in the Spirit. Are you listening to me? John, friend, he was under persecution. But I want you to notice the place of his dwelling. And I don't know, but I'm kindly inclined to believe that there was no churches on the Isle of Patmos, amen. But nevertheless, John was in the Lord's, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, amen. And if you're waiting till the, now don't throw his book at me right here, but if you're waiting this morning till the church gets right before you can get in the Spirit, then you're waiting on the wrong thing, amen. Amen. Because everywhere you go, it ain't going to be right, amen. And I found out a long time ago, Brother Panther, this thing's between me and God first and foremost, and I need to get my heart right with Him. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I need to walk in the Spirit, and I need to be where God can bless and help me, amen. So notice, number one, where he was at, amen. On the Lord's Day, he was in the Spirit, amen. Number two, I want you to notice what he heard on the Lord's Day. Oh my. Verse number 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice. Amen. It's a blessing when we can come to the house of God anytime and hear the men of God get up and open up the book and hear the choir and the specials that are given. But I tell you, it's a blessed day when you can hear beyond the man and hear beyond the singer and hear beyond the choir. And it may be a still small voice that you hear in the bosom of your heart, but aren't you glad that there's a great voice that still speaks out of heaven to you and I? God speaks to us through his word, amen. Aren't you glad that we can hear on the Lord's Day, amen? He heard a great voice. In verse number 10, it was a voice of authority. He said it was like a trumpet. Amen. In verse number 11, it was the voice of revelation because he heard him saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Amen. If you'll notice in verse number 17, the same voice said to John, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Amen. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. He said in chapter number four, in verse number one, he said, after this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, same voice, amen, he said, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, and said unto me, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. He heard the voice of revelation, amen. And I know that we're not waiting on another revelation from God. Amen. We're waiting on some illumination for God to illuminate our minds. But I'm glad that when we go to the house of God, I'm glad whether it's riding down the road in the car or in the study or wherever you're at, that we can still hear the voice of God, amen, and hear that voice of authority, hear that voice of revelation, hear that voice of command. He told the apostle here, he said in verse number 11, what thou seest, write in a book. It was a voice of command. In verse number 19, he said, write the things which thou hast seen. You see, when we hear God speak to us, he's going to illuminate. illuminate our minds. He's going to show us some things. But I think he wants to tell us what to do, don't you? Amen. It is a voice of authority. It is a voice of revelation. It is a voice of command. But it's also a voice of exaltation. Look in chapter number 1 when he was called up. In chapter number 4 rather, in verse number 1. When the Lord said, come up hither. And he said, I'll show thee the things which must be hereafter. But when he said that door was opened in heaven, if you'll notice, the first thing that he hears when he's taken up into heaven is the voice of the one that had already spoken to him in chapter number 1. In other words, when we get to heaven, the Son of God is going to have the preeminence, amen, because he is in that place of exaltation. And the voice that we hear in our Lord's Day services, amen, it ought to be the voice of exaltation, amen. Where was he at on the Lord's Day? He was in the Spirit. What did he hear on the Lord's Day? He heard a great voice, amen. We need to hear it. But thirdly, let me hasten to say, what did he see on the Lord's Day? Look in verse number 12 of chapter number 1. What did he see on the Lord's Day? And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Wow. The Bible tells us here in verse number 20 that the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. So on the Lord's Day, stay with me now, on the Lord's Day, John saw the church. What do you see when you assemble with the people of God? What do you see when you come to that? Who are you looking at today? Who's here today? It's more than he's and she's, amen. It's more than couples. It's more than children. It's more, dear friend, than the Philadelphia Baptist Church and other church. Who is? We're the blood-bought, washed children of God, amen. We are the body of Christ in which he is the head. We are the building of Christ in which he is the foundation. We are the bride of Christ in which he is the groom. Amen. When John saw the church, he saw, my. In chapter 2 and 3, he saw the troubled church. 5 of those 7 churches, the Lord had a problem with them. I'm telling you, he's probably got a problem with most churches today. But can I give you a little secret? Even though he's got a problem with most of the churches today, they're still his church. It's still his church, amen. God hasn't give up on his church. He's not give up on his people, amen. John saw a troubled church in chapter 2 and 3. Amen. And he went to lay out the problems that they were experiencing and what they were going through. And the Lord revealed himself. If you'll notice in chapter number 1, he revealed himself. And then he breaks down in chapters 2 and 3. And he gives those 7 churches those major attributes of himself. That's how he reveals himself to those 7 churches. I'm kind of like the brother on the soul winning classes, and I'm not being critical. We all need a little help in how to do everything we do for the Lord. I believe you ought to improve. I believe you ought to be the best we can. But I'm telling you what, friend, I pastored 8 years my first church. I was off 2 services and started in my 2nd church, and I pastored there 28 years and 3 months, resigned last January of last year, and left in February, and I've been doing evangelism for 1 year. But I do know this, after 36 years of trying to pastor a church, you can prime, you can pump, you can try to make them feel bad, you can try to preach conviction yourself into their heart, but the only thing, I said the only thing that's really going to work is to get them to fall in love with the Son of God, amen. Amen. My wife and I have been married since February of 1976. And let me say to you, dear friend, I don't come home to her every day because my marriage license says I'm her husband. I don't come home to her every day because she's the mother of my two daughters. I do not come home to her because she's the nana of our nine grandchildren. But I come home to her because I love her. Amen. You listening to me? We get our hearts right in love with Jesus, it'll take care of the tithes and the offerings. It'll take care of the Sunday night crowd. It'll take care of the Wednesday night. And if they don't love God, there's not very much you're going to be able to do to get them to change. Amen. Amen. So that tells me we need to concentrate on preaching on Him, amen, and preaching the Word of God, amen, and preach the book, and amen. That'll do it, and if it don't get done with that, it ain't going to get done. He saw the troubled church, but let me say this, in chapter 4 and verse 1, he saw the taken church. Come up hither, amen. We're going to get out of this mess one of these days, thank God. Amen. We're going to get out of this mess. Hallelujah. But in chapter number 19, he saw the triumphant church, amen, getting ready for the wedding, amen. You see, it ain't over till it's over. We may be in a troubled mess in chapter 2 and 3, and the Lord is coming in chapter 4 and verse 1, but we're going to be triumphant, amen, at the marriage of the Lamb, thank God. Amen. Bless His holy name. What he saw the church, but wait a minute, he saw Christ. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And right in the midst of those seven candlesticks, he saw the Son of Man clothed with a garment. Amen. I like it, friend. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying my preaching, if that's all right. We see His presence because He's in the midst of the church. We see His purity because of that white garment and that wool hair. We see the perception of Christ in the eyes. We see the purging of Christ in the feet that are of brass. We see the power and the authority of Christ as it is exemplified in His voice. We see the preeminence of Christ as He is in the midst of the church. And that's where He belongs, amen, the midst of the church. Hallelujah. He saw Christ. In chapter number 1, we see he saw Christ revealing His glory. Amen. You hear me well right here, friend. Well, I'm about to have a little fit here. We see Him revealing His glory in chapter number 1. John saw Him running His churches in chapter 2 and 3. He saw Him as the redeeming Lamb in chapter number 5. He saw him releasing His wrath in chapter 6 through 19. He saw Him returning in chapter 19. And He saw Him reigning in chapter number 20. John saw Jesus on the Lord's day. John saw the church on the Lord's day. And it'll be a Lord's day that'll make a difference in our lives if we'll see the church as God sees it and we'll see His Christ as He sees Him. Amen. Amen. Where He was at, what He heard, what He saw, but I'm fourthly and I'm done. What did He feel on the Lord's day? Hallelujah. I was saved 17 years old. On my way to hell. I was saved on this side of the altar at the Hopewell Baptist Church, west of Murphy, North Carolina, off of Highway 64. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't really know an Old Testament from a New Testament, but the Holy Ghost hung me out over hell and let me know that I was lost and on my way to hell, and God birthed me and saved me, put me into the family of God. Listen, I wasn't saved on my feelings, amen, because I felt real bad that night. That's what conviction does. Makes you feel real bad. Amen. And if you didn't feel real bad when you had your experience, you might have not have got the works. Amen. Godly sorrow worketh repentance is what the Bible said. Amen. And I know I listen, my assurance is not based on my feelings. Because sometimes I don't feel saved, amen. I get up and I'm like what Brother Eric was saying. A lot of times we can shout the victory after we've come through the problem, you know. But how much of that shouting do we do when the problem sets in and we're looking at the storm coming? Hallelujah, come on, you know. A lot of times I don't feel spiritual. I don't feel like a preacher. I don't feel like I've been saved for all these years. I don't feel like I've been preaching for 42 years. I don't feel like it. And we can't go on our feelings, but there's some things we ought to feel. Look with me in John chapter number 1, verse 17. John said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man." Watch now. "And he laid his right hand upon me." Hallelujah. Come to the house of God and you got problems, you got difficulties, a life's beating you up, or the devil's giving you a fit, and Brother Mike, the Lord just comes by and through the preaching and he puts his hand on you. Brother, he puts his hand on you, Brother Davis. He's felt the Lord's hand, amen. Felt the Lord's hand. Felt the Lord's hand on the Lord's day. It was the hand of the personal Christ. Oh. I'm a running over my time. I'm a running over my 20 minutes, brother. Oh, John pinned down the epistle of 1 John chapter number 1, and he's talking about the word, and he said, "Which our hands did to handle the word of life." John is saying, and Jesus had been dead now for about 60 years, and John remembered leaning on Jesus' bosom at the Lord's Supper, and John remembered handling him and touching him, and it had been 60 years since he had seen Jesus. But now John's caught up in the Spirit and he sees a glorified Lord. Whoa! He sees a glorified Lord, but that's not where it stops. He said he laid his hand on me. Hallelujah. He knows where I'm at. He knows me, me little old me, in a world of 7 billion people. He knows me, and on a good given Lord's day, I feel his touch. It not only was it the hand of the personal Christ, but it was the hand of control. He showed John, "I've got the 7 stars in my right hand." We think life gets out of control in our lives, but I'm here to tell you, neighbor, God's still on the throne. I'm here to tell you this morning, he's got the hand of control over all of it, amen. He felt the hand of comfort because he said in verse 17, "Fear not." Oh, John had already been boiled in hot oil and exiled over on the Isle of Patmos. And he was an aged man having to bear the heat and all the things that went with being on the Isle of Patmos. And old John was like that, not knowing how it was all going to end. All the apostles have been killed. John was the left, only one left. And when the Lord put his hand on him, he said, "Fear not, John." I see moms and dads and grannies and grandpas and aunts and uncles across in that old River Jordan, and I see folk that are suffering with cancer, and I see death and disease and sickness coming on people, and every now and then it just does me good as I keep having birthdays, amen. It does me good for the Lord to whisper in this old preacher's ears every now and then, "Fear not," and put his hand on me. I'm done. He felt the hand of a conqueror. He said in verse number 18, well, after the Lord put his hand on him, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth." Woo! "I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore," amen, "and have the keys of hell and of death." The same hand, of the same hand that speaks of that personal relationship, the same hand of control, the same hand of comfort, is the same hand that conquers all. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for my sins. Amen. You hear me well? By the grace of God, I can live right in 2018, but not because of me, but because of the conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done. Praise God. Appreciate that.